And welcome to our service this morning. A particular welcome if you're joining us online, and if we haven't met before, my name is Daniel Newman, and I'm the rector of the parish. We're in the middle of a series in the book of Hebrews, and a passage that we're going to look at, and if please do sit down.
So the reading can be found on page 1206 of the Pew Bibles. And as you can see, it is Hebrews chapter 8. And I'm starting to read at verse 6, where the writer begins to show that there is no comparison between the earthly priesthood and Jesus. So verse 6. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the peoples of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear.
For following in the church Bibles, please do keep open Hebrews chapter 8, 1206. Now, do you ever find it hard to do what you're told? Do you ever find it hard to do what you're told? Maybe, clearing the table after dinner or tidying your bedroom. Do you want to tell me something you find hard to do when you're told to do it? Anyone want to tell me? Go on, Matthew.
I do Hoover.
Okay, you do the hoovering, do you? Anything you find hard to do when you're told to do it? Clearing up your sitting room when you want to brush your teeth. Well, it's a good thing to do to want to brush your teeth, but the sitting room also needs to be tidied. What about out there? Do you ever find it hard to do what you're told to do? Maybe stick to 70 miles an hour on the motorway? Anyone want to admit to something they find hard to do when they're told to do it? Everyone keeps quiet. The Cap'n's answer hints towards a reason why we find it hard to do something when we're told to do it. You see, we might think we know better. Cleaning your teeth is a good thing to do, and so that needs to be done. But there might be other things that we think, well, actually, I know a better way of doing it than this. Sometimes it's because there's something that's just more fun and exciting to do. Or I don't want to tidy my room or clear the dining room table because there's a game to play and it's much more fun. And it could be like that with God. We can find it hard to do what God tells us to do. Maybe because we think that we know better than God, or because actually we think that something else is more exciting than obeying God. And our reading today will help us to be able to do what God wants us to do. In our services in here, we've been looking at the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews was written to help people see how amazing Jesus is, so that they won't leave Jesus and go back to the way they lived before. And the writer shows us so many wonderful things about how amazing Jesus is, why Jesus is the best. And today he's showing us that Jesus is the best because he makes it possible for us to do what God tells us to do. And he also makes it possible for us to be forgiven when we don't do it. So first, we need to think about how God relates to us. And there was a word that kept coming up in that reading that might be a bit of a strange word, and that is the word covenant. Covenant. God relates to his people through covenants. Now, what is a covenant? A covenant, hands down, covenant is agreement between two people or more people, and sometimes there are promises, and good things happen when you keep your promises, and bad things happen when you break those promises, and sometimes there are signs involved of those promises. Let's have a look at the picture on the screen. I'm going to move this out of the way because it's in the way at the moment. Now, I wonder, can you tell me what is happening in that picture? Do you know what's happening? No? Matthew, do you know what's happening in that picture? No? Isaac, do you know what's happening in that picture? Do you know what's happening? No? Anastasia, what's happening in the picture? Reuben?
You and Mama are getting married.
Yeah, that's right. And didn't we look young? You never see me like that. God has given us marriage as a picture of the covenant between him and his people. You see, in a marriage, the husband says that I will take, the husband says to the wife, I will take you to be my wife, to have and to hold, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, as long as we both shall live, till death us do part. Okay? The husband makes promises, and the wife makes promises as well. Now, in the Bible, God's promise is, I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Are you okay, Isaac? And so, in our reading, the writer describes two covenants. And this is where we need our chart. So, the writer says, he talks about the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. So this is what he's talking about. When God rescued his people, when they were slaves in Egypt, he brought them to Mount Sinai and he gave them the Ten Commandments. So there we've got a mountain and he gave them the Ten Commandments and there they are there. And the people said, yes, we will do everything God wants us to do. Do you think they did it?
No.
No, they didn't. They very quickly started breaking this command, no idols. They made images and worshipped them instead of God. They worshipped the gods of the nations around them. And they broke all these other commands as well. And God sent them prophets to bring them back to keeping God's commands. But they didn't. And eventually, God sent them away from the land that he brought them into. That's what it says in verse 9. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. You see, those commands were written on hard stones. It's not that there's anything wrong with those commands. They're God's good law, and it's holy and pure. It shows us how God wants us to live. But there is a problem. Verse 8 says, God found fault with the people. The problem is with us. You see, we want to break God's law. We want to be in charge of our own lives. We want to make our own rules and go our own way rather than obey God. We want things that God says we shouldn't want. And even when we want things that are good, we want them too much. So the problem is with us, and the problem with laws on hard stone is that they are outside of us. They don't have the power to change us. But God didn't give up on his people, and he made a promise of a new covenant. And this is what it's like. Verse 10 says, I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. God promises to write his law on the hearts and minds of his people. No longer will it be on hard stone, it will be on our hearts so that we can keep them. And there's that promise again, I will be their God and they will be my people. And it's for everyone, from the least to the greatest. It's for you. This promise is for you, the least, the youngest. God promises he can write his law on your hearts and minds. And it's to the greatest, those who are the oldest among us. He promises to write his law on our hearts and minds. It's from those who aren't very important to those who are very important. It's for everyone. We don't experience this fully now. We still don't keep God's law perfectly if we're part of his people. We still need his work in us. We still need to tell each other that we need to know and obey the Lord. But one day, God will bring that promise to complete fulfillment. He's begun it now and will bring it to completion. And what makes this covenant possible is verse 12, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. In the past, when people sinned, then they had to offer animals as sacrifices. And the people sinned, they offered an animal, and it kept having to happen day after day after day. And we'll think more about that next week. But the point here is that God has done something so that he can forgive his people and will remember their sins no more. What does that mean for the old covenant? Well, it's described there as obsolete. So, can we have the next picture, please? Does anyone have one of those? Put your hand up if you have one of those at home. You've got one, Isaac. You've got a balance bike, haven't you? It's like having a balance bike. It's useful. It can train you to balance and you can get some distance on it. But as you grow up, it's going to be too small for you. And it's a pretty inefficient way of travelling, isn't it? Just pushing yourself along the ground. And so what you need, next slide, is one of these. It's a bigger frame and it's a much more better way of using your legs to propel you forward with gears and things. It's got brakes to stop you if you go too fast. And the balance bike becomes obsolete. It was good for a time, it worked, but you don't need it anymore. And perhaps for those of us out there, the old covenant, the covenant God made with his people, became obsolete and was disappearing when the writer to the Hebrews was writing. In AD 70, God brought that to an end as the Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and brought an end to that whole way of relating to him. And how is this new covenant possible? Well, we have the mountain at Sinai. What have we got here? We've got a cross. It's because Jesus died on the cross that we have a new covenant. The night before Jesus died, he had supper with his friends, the Last Supper, and he took a cup of wine and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins." See, Jesus died on the cross to make this new covenant with God possible. He died in the place of his people, taking the punishment for all the ways that they'd broken God's law so that they could be forgiven. And so Jesus says to us today, will you trust me to write God's law on your hearts? Will you trust me to forgive you? It may be that you're here this morning and you're trying to relate to God on the basis of keeping commands. Maybe you're trying very hard to do what your parents tell you, or you think you don't steal or you don't lie. And you're trying very hard to relate to God by keeping commands. But actually, we do tell lies sometimes, don't we? We do break his commands, each and every one of us. There was a man who came up to Jesus once, and he asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know the commands, honor your parents, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet." And he said, "All of these commandments I've kept since I was a young boy." And Jesus said, "One thing that you lack, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor and follow me." And that showed actually he hadn't kept God's commands. It showed that he had something that was more important than God in his life, and that was his money. And maybe it showed that he was coveting. He wasn't happy with what he had. He wanted more. And he went away sad. See, we don't keep God's commands. And instead, we need to trust in Jesus to write his law on our hearts so that we will want to do what God wants us to do. And that doesn't mean that God's law is not important. It tells us what God wants. But he writes it on our hearts so that we are able to do it. So that's why Jesus came. He came so that we could be forgiven and have this new covenant with God, this new relationship with God. He made it possible to do what God wants us to do by writing his law on our hearts. And he made it possible to be forgiven when we don't keep God's law by dying on the cross. And that's why Jesus is the best. And that's why we shouldn't give up following him. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you that he is the greatest. There is none greater. We thank you that he came and died on a cross that we could be forgiven. We thank you that he sent the Holy Spirit to write your law on our hearts so that we can do what you want us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.